Hello again, Gooners. I'm not sure if you can hear the music. I don't really care. Right, I've cranked it up. Probably can hear it now. And I'm thinking maybe you can't hear me, but you will soon. So don't worry if it's a dodgy start to the show. It wasn't a dodgy start, or was it? Against Bournemouth, that's the game I'm going to be talking about primarily. Obviously, lots of things to talk about since the last time I was with you. It's been a busy time, so that's my excuse for not doing this a little bit sooner. So we'll go out on a beat. Maybe we won't go out on a beat. We will now. Okay, so basically, what have I got to say? Quite a lot. Let's see how long I can talk for by myself. I don't think I've got any guests today unless somebody pops in. But you'd never know, do you? Anyway, Bournemouth, 4-0 away. It doesn't get much better than that. Bit of a cliche to say that, but it is true. Any away victory is difficult to achieve, especially in the Premier League. I think often fans underestimate how difficult it is to play away from home when you are professional. I've played professional, but semi-pro, yes. But I suppose we didn't really have those problems going away from home, and that's why. Talking to pros, they always say, yeah, it's much harder than the fans realise. So the very fact that Arsenal came away with a win that looks very, very convincing on paper, that in itself tells you a lot about the character of the team. The thing I wanted to mention in particular after that game was really the attitude of the players was first class. When you think that there were how many penalties? Felt like so many. I think three, was it? Three penalties. Bournemouth were a bit gung-ho, let's be honest, in terms of their challenges. There were ridiculously high challenges going in. And obviously, if you take those sort of risks, you may well come a cropper. It's lucky, actually, that as far as we know anyway, there weren't any serious injuries, although Saka did go off. Not sure what he was clutching, part of his body anyway. So Saka went off, and that in itself is very worrying indeed. Let's make no bones about that, because really he's a crucial player for Arsenal. Everybody knows that. So Saka went off, but the great, great news really was Kai Havertz scored again. That's the song. I think he scored one in pre-season, but that's his first official Arsenal goal. And it should really help him to settle in and into the team, because up until now, he's not really looked the player that Arsenal thought they were going to buy. So I think this goal will make a huge, huge difference to his confidence. And you can see the relief. And the best thing about it was that basically, you'd have expected Saka to take that penalty. He didn't. Oh, sorry, he didn't. He did. It was Odegaard took the other penalty, so it wasn't three penalties. I suddenly forgot how Saka scored, because I always think it's a penalty, but it was a header, of course, a rare header. So another headed goal made it 4-0. That was Ben White getting quite near the end, an Odegaard free kick. Because people were saying that goals were coming from free play, but it's not really, is it, from a free kick? So I'm not sure where these ideas are coming from. Rice, it was interesting. I was listening to Le Grove, because I do really like that podcast a lot. And it was interesting that one of the presenters there was saying that Rice was not injured in one of the previous games, when he went off with a back injury, and apparently he was all strapped up to play in this game. And while it is true that Arteta's not a big fan of players getting injured, I'm not sure he blames them for getting injured, but he's gone on record apparently as saying, although I've not heard him say this, I've heard that he said, we're not going to pay £105 million for a player who's crocked. But what can you do if they do get injured? Well, Rice clearly is going to play on with an injury, which I think is quite high risk. It's a high risk policy, in my opinion. I'm not sure I'm massively in favour of doing that. because ultimately injuries catch up. So I've never really been a big fan of making players play when they've got injuries. The answer to it is just get a big squad. If you've got a big squad, then it shouldn't be an issue. You shouldn't have to play players when they're injured. And even if I didn't have a big squad as a manager, I would I would never be a fan of doing that. To me, I wouldn't question a player's commitment based on the fact that he doesn't want to play when he's injured, because it just causes long-term damage. And these players have to live with that long-term damage. And I've seen the effects firsthand, really. Well, not quite firsthand because it wasn't me. But, yeah, I've seen ex-players and they barely can go upstairs, and some can't go upstairs at all. So it makes a massive difference in their lives. And not only that, it's just it doesn't even help the club on the long-term basis, because on a long-term basis, you're gonna lose that player later on down the line, because the injuries, unless it's extremely minor, the injuries will eventually stop that player from playing, and then they'll be out for quite a considerable amount of time. So it doesn't make an awful lot of sense to me to play somebody when they're injured. It makes zero sense, actually. So yeah, that's my view on that. What else was I going to talk about? The Kai Havertz thing. The fans really got behind Kai Havertz, and they deserve a lot of credit for that. They really got behind him, and he really. What else was I going to say on that? Yeah, as I said, it seemed to me that his confidence was coming back during this game. It was one of Kai Havertz's better games. Obviously, Bournemouth not the best opposition, but Rice in particular was outstanding in midfield. There were lots of good performances. Saka, until he got injured, excellent, and he often is, isn't he? Against Spurs, apparently David Raya got some stick against Spurs, which is ridiculous, really. How many clean sheets does a goalkeeper have to keep? Some of his kicking was incredible. I've never seen anything like it. And his handling against Bournemouth, excellent. I thought he was very good against Spurs, actually. I don't know what other fans out there think, but my personal view is he's a step up, sorry to say, from Ramsdale. Everybody's a big fan of Ramsdale, me too. But on current form, although I didn't see the Brentford game, which was a game in which Ramsdale kept a clean sheet. Although I didn't see that, overall, the games that I've seen Raya in, he's looked very assured between the sticks, and he catches everything that comes in. So can't really knock the guy. He's just come in, and he looks like he's there to stay, quite honestly. The only way I can see Ramsdale knocking him off his perch is if Raya gets injured, or if Raya loses form. But we've seen how good he was at Brentford, and basically, as soon as he arrived, I thought this is a new first choice keeper for Arsenal. It would be ideal if Ramsdale stays as well. I think for this season, that's probably going to happen. That would be my guess. I would think Ramsdale can be patient at least for one season. We'll see about two. I'm not sure. As I've said in the blog, I think Ramsdale may well have to settle for cup appearances if the Spaniard continues, Raya, in other words, continues in this rich vein of form. I was a bit worried about the Bournemouth game, though, as a lot of people were, basically because it's not always an easy fixture, is it, against Bournemouth? Bournemouth are a team that know how to battle for their lives. They've been in the top flight a little while now, and they're always down the wrong end of the table, but they've got some decent players. They're pretty pacey, and it was only their panicking that really caused the goals, the two penalties at least. Maybe the first goal, was it fortunate for Arsenal? I'm not sure. I don't think Arsenal really created as many chances as a 4-0 scoreline suggests, but no one's going to be upset about that if you're in the Arsenal camp, because purely any sort of clean sheet, as I said before, away from home has got to be cause for celebration. And the main cause for celebration, of course, was Kai Havertz scoring again, because that means there's a new chant. Lots of people said the Arsenal fans were the loudest they'd ever heard it an away game. Not being there, only hearing it on TV, they were pretty loud, that's for sure, and they were in high spirits, and so they should be. So some tough games coming up, of course. Going back over the past month or so, because as I mentioned before, the 2-2 draw against Spurs obviously upset a lot of people. Spurs look a decent proposition this year. I'm not sure they'll be there at the end of the season at the top. We'll see. I'm not that convinced by them. Not that convinced by the manager, although he seems pretty unfazed by being in the position he's in, because some managers would be, well, Spurs have got through quite a lot of the managers, let's be honest. So are they gonna persevere? We don't know. We don't really care. I think for me, although the drop points against Spurs, that was obviously a home game. The drop points against Fulham, that was probably more worrying. That's going back in time a bit. But then again, perhaps people didn't complain about that so much because Arsenal did, in fact, go behind in that game. Whereas Spurs, they clawed their way back. And in the second half of the Spurs game, Spurs were really on top. But Arsenal started off so well. And the strange thing is, maybe they're trying to play a different way now, because ultimately it wasn't the strongest of starts against Bournemouth. It just ended up a very convincing result. Also, I'd like to say something about Gabriel at the back. It's good to see him starting games again. I wasn't really convinced about Thomas Partey playing at right back. It seems like something's missing from the team when Gabriel doesn't play. Even though people say there's a mistake in him, he just adds passion, a bit of solidity. Saliba's obviously the star of the back four, but he's still young. He needs somebody alongside him that complements him. And I actually think that is the case with Gabriel. It just looks much more settled back four. And Ben White, although he is good playing centre-back, I think he's even better as a right-back. His overlapping runs do cause a lot of problems. Although he doesn't get many assists and goals, he's obviously got a goal now. And let's hope he's got many more to give the Arsenal team. We'll see. But yeah, Ben White has been, since his arrival, I think the only shaky game he possibly had was, I think his first game was away at Brentford a couple of seasons ago. And he was a bit shaky in that game. But aside from that, I don't think he's ever been cause for consternation. So let's hope the injury woes do not affect Arsenal too much at the moment. A few players out injured. And with Man City on the horizon, everybody's hoping that they get fit in time for that particular game. So I think I'll leave it there for this particular podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. And until the next time, I want to say adios.